want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Monday in wonderful, beautiful Brevard County, Florida, and we want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We pray that you are having a marvelous day. I want to say thank you today to Dan and his team, Dan Treasurer and their team at Treasure Your Landscape. They've been a licensed and insured family business. They've been doing business here in Brevard County. They got over 20 years of experience. They travel all throughout the county doing whatever projects need to be done to create a landscape your family will treasure, whether that involves artificial turf or putting greens or water features or landscape lighting or landscape repair or redesigning, planting, maintaining, whatever you need. I mean, if there's a drain and downspout issue, they can deal with that as well. Whatever vision you have, they can take it from a concept to reality. And they love Jesus. They are friends of the Refresh radio program. They're a big time blessing to Brevard County with all of the things that they do to make Brevard beautiful. They also have Space Coast Nursery, which is at 3880 North Courtney Parkway, north of the Barge Canal. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1. Treasure Your Landscape's phone number is 321-749-1432. Space Coast Nursery, 321-452-5565. They are treasured friends that I have in my life, and they will do a great job on your project should you reach out to them. Treasure your landscape. We're going back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 today. We were in verses 14 and 15 last week. We're going to dive into verse 16 here today. It says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." That's where we ended. Verse 16 is a very famous verse. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And so this is all Scripture. And so Paul had encouraged Timothy in verse 15 that he had known the Holy Scriptures, primarily the Old Testament text, because much of what we have as the New Testament had not been put down on parchment and at that point in time. And so most of what they were familiar with was with the Old Testament Scripture. But verse number 16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means it's God-breathed. It is coming from the heart of God through the Spirit of God so that the people of God will know what God wants, know His heart, know His character, and know His plans, His will, and His purpose. And so it is given by inspiration. That means that it is God-breathed. We've already talked about that to some extent, so we're not going to dive into that, but I will tell you this: the Word of God is inspired. My sermons do not rise to the same level of inspiration as the Word of God. They may have powerful points. They may have truths in them that come from the heart of God, but the Word of God is the pinnacle standard. It is the gold standard. It is what everything else is measured by. And so if somebody tries to elevate their opinion, their sermon, their book above the Word of God, understand that they have an incorrect standard. The Word of God is the standard. And so I want to be preaching the Word of God. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine. So every business, I remember reading this book and it said, why is this business in existence? And then it said, and why is this business in existence? Completely different industry. And people named all sorts of different reasons why the company was in existence. And the end result of the question was, no, they're in business to make money. They just have a different problem that they are trying to solve in order to create a profitable business. Well, the Word of God is profitable for us in our spiritual lives. It is profitable for doctrine. It is something that is there for our benefit. Now, I have been in seasons of my life. There was one incident in my life that I deposited my paycheck of a morning, and later that day, the bank had a charge that hit my account. This was 35 years ago. Later in the day, there was a charge that hit the bank account, and they did the charge before they did the deposit, and it ended up resulting in a negative figure because of the way that they did it. They didn't sequence it the way the events took place. They sequenced it where the deposit was pending and the charge was not pending. And that started a cascade effect that was a very painful and unprofitable season for our bank account. It led to an overdraft fee, which led to something else. And they kept doing it in manner. They kept processing things, not from the least amount of the transaction to the ascending amount. They kept doing it from the most to the least, where they got the most number of overdraft charges. So just in case you think that I don't know what it's like to not have enough money, I do. But we learned from that season that we didn't trust our bank's processing sequencing, and so we didn't do anything that would put us in a negative. There weren't a lot of, in the region of the country that we lived, there were not any national banks or big time banks. There were just local community, small town bankers, and they pretty much made their own rules. So we didn't want to do anything that was unprofitable. Well, when it comes to doctrine, the only thing that is profitable is the Word of God. A lot of people don't like to talk about doctrine. I've told this illustration before. I was on Facebook several years ago, and there was a post out there that said, hey, we're looking for a church that has a great youth group. We don't really care what they believe. And as a pastor, when I read that, I understand wanting to have your kids in a group where they are going to thrive. But if they're not thriving scripturally, then they're going to be a large percentage of that group that falls away from the faith whenever they hit a stage in life that all of a sudden they're facing temptations that they've never faced. They have freedom that they've never had. And they make decisions that they've never been equipped to make because they do not have the Word of God. Doctrine's important. So if the things that I believe don't line up with the Word of God, I change my belief system to line up with the Word of God. I don't change the Word of God to line up with the doctrine. So he tells Timothy, the scripture is a profitable resource. You need to make sure it's not a book for reading, that it is a book for living. It is also a book that is for reproof. It is something that is for correction or conviction. It's for dealing with sin. Too many times in society, we're trying to have government identify sin, courts identify sin, communities identify sin, and the authority that identifies sin is not Bob, it's not George, it's not anybody else that is living or breathing here on planet Earth. It's not another organization. The one and only individual who identifies sin is God, and he does it in his word. And sin is not sin just because it's prohibited behavior. It is sin, and it is prohibited because it is harmful to God's creation, which is people. When we realize that God understands that there is evil and there is good, he wants us to choose the good. So, again, I say this a number of times. You do not correct or you do not convict out of your emotions. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict people of sin. As much as I would want to wrap my arms around people and hold them and say, you're making a terrible mistake, until the Holy Spirit opens their eyes to the sin that has them, if you look up in, what was it, chapter 2, that people are taken captive by the devil to do his will, and they are in a snare that they need to escape from. They don't know the truth, and their senses are compromised. Until the Holy Spirit brings those revelations into their life, they're not going to respond. If you offered them $1 million to change, they wouldn't change. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But with the Word of God, we present them the Word of God, and that's the seed that the Holy Spirit uses to grow. So it's not only for profitable for doctrine or what they believe, but it is also... it's profitable for instruction, and it is profitable for conviction, and it is profitable for correction. When we were raising our kids up, the number one question whenever we would tell them something is they would say, why? Why? Answer that question, well, why? Well, why? Well, why? And so correction is designed to put us back on the trajectory that God has for our life, to put us back on the path. And so correction is not a bad thing. Correction is a necessary thing. And most of the time we don't like to be corrected. Second, I can tell you as a person who has to do it, correcting is no fun either. Because people get upset when there's correction. And so it's something that we don't like, but we put the Word of God out there and say, this is designed not because we hate you, but because we love you. God corrects his children because he loves them. If there is no correction in your life, it's not because those people love you too much to correct you. It's that they don't love you enough to do it in the first place. So it is correction. So when I first moved to Florida, I moved from a different area of the country. The Assemblies of God has districts, and each district is like a state. Some of them involve states, some of them involve parts of states, some of them involve multiple states. It just depends on the district. And each district has its different rules and regulations, same belief system, different government structure. So some of them don't even call themselves districts anymore. They call them ministry networks and things like that. So I was operating under the process that I had in place in the previous district. And I had to go in for an interview, which was new. The previous district didn't do that. And when I did, someone corrected me, because my practice was out of alignment with the things that went on in Florida that I didn't know anything at all about. And at first I was humiliated. And because I was humiliated, I wasn't happy. But I went out and I grabbed a friend of mine and I said, I give you authority that if I ever fall short in this area, that you can kick me in the backside. And fortunately, he's never had to do that. Correction is compassionate when it changes behavior to line up with the Word of God that it's supposed to line up with. It's also for instruction in righteousness. And that's, you know, righteousness, as we've talked about before, that's the opposite of lawlessness. But the instruction is in righteousness is about the training that is necessary so that we can live in conformity to God's word and to God's will. When we're in church, when we're alone, when we are in public, we live the way that God wants us to live. We live in a manner that honors God. We live in a way that aligns with his moral requirements. We live in boldness, and we live in personal integrity. And so there's people that don't like that. But it's the Word of God. And so it is not a free-for-all when you become a Christian. The goal is for the Word of God to transform us from the desire to conform to the world and its system and its values. Instead, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind to conform to the Word of God. Now, I tell you what I'm not trying to do. I'm not trying to create another Bob Arthurs. I know Bob's flaws. I know the things about Bob that bother me. So I'm not trying to, you know, create a system of clones of me. I'm trying to minister to people with the Word of God in such a way that they can be the unique manifestation of grace that God has poured into their life so that they can fulfill their unique purpose in the body of Christ. That's what it is. To instruct in righteousness. And as we look at verse number 17, we see that it continues. So let me go back and read the first part of verse 16, and then I'm going to drop down to verse number 17, because this is all one of those progressions. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so you and I need to have a regular diet of the Word of God. And you know, one of the best ways to do that is to read it daily. Let me tell you something that a person told me one time, because it says all scripture. So there are 66 books in the Bible. There's a teaching that is out there. It's not sound, but there's a teaching out there that says, well, the reason that behavior is prohibited is because the Bible excludes several other books. Well, the reason that those books are not included is because those books did not pass the same scrutiny, the test of scrutiny, as the rest of the scripture. There's 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And so if there was teaching in those books that did not line up with the inspired Word of God, if it came from a source that was not up to the standards that they had, which it had to be someone from the first century church, that someone who walked with Christ, knew Christ, and things like that. Those teachings, though they might have some good information, they did not meet the standard of being the inerrant Word of God, and so they didn't get included in what we call the canon, C-A-N-O-N, of Scripture. So anytime somebody says, well, yeah, there's all these other books, and they just kept them out because they were being mean. No, they kept them out because they didn't show the same degree of inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so a person told me one time, they said, this book is, and they were specifically speaking about one of the books in the Bible. This one book is all we need. And immediately my mind goes to 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Okay? And so we need everything. There is a reason for, there's a reason for Genesis. There's a reason for Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There's a reason for the book of Revelation. There's a reason for the Gospels. There's a reason for Psalms and Proverbs, the historical books, the major prophets, the minor prophets, the epistles of Paul. There's a reason for all of it. And that is so that we can be complete and proficient, that we can be thoroughly equipped and have everything that we need. Our church is located about 3 blocks away from Home Depot. Whenever we have a project that we are working on, there's not a Lowe's or anything like that. There's a Home Depot that's 3 blocks away. And so whenever we have a project, we have a list of materials that we need, and we go and we purchase those materials. And then we get back, and then we discover, you know what? I forgot this, or I got the wrong one of these, and we make another trip back to Home Depot. And we keep making trips back until we are thoroughly equipped for the project to be brought to completion. I keep coming back to the Word of God day after day after day. I keep coming to church week after week after week because I want to be thoroughly and completely equipped for the task that God has for me. And as long as I'm breathing, as long as I'm able, as long as I can read, as long as I can hear the Word of God through a Bible app, as long as I can hear sermons, as long as I can watch a preaching video, as long as I can read a book and hear a sermon and pray and hear from God, I'm going to continue to avail myself of the resources that He has given to me, because if I'm still breathing, He's not done. And so I may just hear the word that day that will thoroughly equip me to minister to a hurting individual later that day. Someday I may be the hurting individual and you have the good word. So let's all aspire to be so in love with the Word of God that not only will it bring correction, but it will equip us for every good work. Every single one. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, I was horrible at construction. And I found myself at a church that needed a lot of repair. My brother and I had built a tree house when we were young. There was not a level piece of wood in the tree house. There was a few pieces of wood up there, maybe a dozen pieces of wood, and about 25 pounds of nails. My grandfather, he had a 25-pound box of nails, and we pretty much used all of them. It was the worst treehouse that was ever built. And as I came to Merit Assembly of God, I faced project after project, and I said, God, I'm going to need you to equip me for whatever project this is. So through the years, I've done just a little bit of everything. I don't deal with electricity. My days of wearing an afro are gone, and I'm allergic to electrical shock. It causes my hair to curl, and it disrupts everything in my life. I don't like it. So I don't like to do plumbing because I have the ability to continue to find leaks. But I've done a lot of other things, and I've not been afraid to try to do anything. And God's equipped me to do a lot of things I don't even want to tell other people I know how to do, because then they might want me to do them for them. But I will tell you, there's the work of the ministry that still needs to be done. There's boys and girls that need to be reached. There's men and women in Brevard County that still need to be reached. And they're not going to be reached by Bob. They're going to be reached by the body of Christ. And the body of Christ in Brevard County, if we will fall in love with the Word of God and the God of His Word, He is going to reveal things from His Word that are going to be priceless. And He's going to equip us to minister to hurting people. He will thoroughly equip us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's be thoroughly equipped in the Word of God. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.